Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV. If you listen to our season 4 hype podcast, you might have heard us say that we were thinking about maybe doing like a mid-season episode for Succession. And we quickly, after that episode, decided that we wanted to cover every single episode. So just because we love the show so much, it's so fun to talk about. So we're actually going to be doing these weekly episodes. We're going to keep them quite short. I don't know what this episode will end up time-wise, but I'm sure it'll be 30, 35 minutes, maybe a little less. We have a little agendas here. We have kind of roles divvied out. So we're trying to stick to a little bit of a tighter timeline. We're maybe trying to do our best Waystar Royco impersonation of a little board meeting or at very least an investor call. So we're basically going to, we'll do a little bit of an executive summary. We'll talk about our favorite moments. We'll each get to list out our favorite quotes, and then we'll do a little bit of like a market watch, look about the investments that we said we were investing in during the season 4 hype podcast, check in on them, see how they're doing, see how we're feeling about how they're doing. Before I guess we dive into the actual Succession talk, a little podcast housekeeping is just that if you would like to support us, obviously subscribing on whatever you are listening to or watching on is the perfect way to do so. That way you're kind of plugged in to what we are doing and you're kind of getting notifications about when we're dropping episodes. We're doing a lot right now. Yellow Jackets just restarted actually the same day that Succession did. Shadow and Bone, that coverage, that show came out a couple weeks ago, but we're about to wrap up our coverage. And then The Mandalorian is going on right now. So we're covering all of those things. We just wrapped The Last of Us. I mean, we have tons of shows that we cover. So if this is your first time hearing Bingetown TV, definitely go back and look through our filmography, episodography, whatever you want to call it. There's just a bunch of stuff that we've covered. We're at Bingetown TV on all socials, and BingetownTV.com is a great place where all of this info is just kind of aggregated into one spot. So with that, the business out of the way, let's get into the real business of talking Succession, season 4, episode 1. And I believe I will be passing the torch over to the lovely Kathleen for our executive summary.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for everyone for coming to our meeting. This is the executive summary, the meeting minutes of a season 4, episode 1. We are 2 days out from Logue selling Waystar and mirroring the pilot. He has a birthday party, which he enjoys immensely. Carrie is Logan's most trusted friend, assistant, and advisor at this point, with much more screen time than ever and many more jabs at Greg. The new Gen Roys throw away months of work on a new company, which was based on the CW's best television show, The 100, and instead throw a huge fuck you to old Daddy-O by getting in a bidding war with Nan Pierce. In regards to the disgusting brothers, Greg is a cousin, in case you didn't know. He brings Bridget Random Fuck to the party, who commits too many faux pas to count, gets finger banged on CCTV, and promptly gets kicked out by Colin. Tom is still on Team Logan and looks very handsome, but is the reason for the Pierce leak to the new Gen Roys. Connor is still running for president, and he and Willa are planning their wedding, which Con is willing to sabotage with Hoopla for some press, since he's scared that if he were to be squeezed down from his 1%, he could be a laughingstock. Marsha is in Milan shopping for forever. Jess, the most loyal assistant on planet Earth, is still hanging in there by Kendall's side. And finally, Tom and Shiv make me cry for the first time in Succession history. All of this to say, if we're good, we're good.
Oh, that was good. That was fantastic.
Wow. All right. That's going to be a tough act to follow up in the coming
That was
week.
Good. Yeah. I'm actually a little bit nervous now for when I do it. I'll have to. You got lucky with the finger banging being a thing. I wish I could. I'm going to try to slip finger banging into whenever I do mine, even if there's no finger banging in the episode. Ah, yeah, you like that.
That is good.
So, okay, we can just jump right off of that wonderful summary into our favorite moments. I guess favorite moment singular. We'll try to be as brief as we can be.
Oh, I wrote so many.
All right, that's fine. Throw us one right now.
Okay, I'm going to kick us off by just talking about the sibling stuff in general. I think it's glorious that we at least get them working together in this episode, but specifically that even though they're working together, they still can't help but have things going on the side, make sure that, you know, Shiv is like, no one's going to take care of me, so I got to take care of myself, just in case. That's in my favorite quotes. I'll save it. But yeah, I like that they're working together, but they still can't fully trust each other. And it was good. Like, the scene in that house. It was gorgeous, that house. And like, it was just fun to watch. Everyone got their one-liners in. Kendall's like, Romy, and just like good vibes from the jump. You know, Jeremy Strong is known to be a method actor. And they say, I think Kieran, I was going to call him Kieran, is the one who said, if his character is in a good mood, he's in a good mood. If his character's not, then he's not. So I'm sure Jeremy Strong was just having a good time on set these days because it was fun vibes. It was really good. But yeah, just the sibling stuff in general, this episode was really doing it for me.
Alex, would you like to follow that up?
Sure. I will follow that up. I'll pick... God. So mine's like the darker, one of the darker things. I think there were two really... more poignant moments, obviously the Shiv and Tom of it all, but Logan, when he kind of pulled a Ferris Bueller or something and just like Scottish Irish goodbye to his own party and went with Colin to get dinner, and he's just kind of reflecting on life. And the whole time you could tell he's sad, right? I mean, his kids are insufferable to him, but you can tell he's hating this party more than normal or not enjoying it as much as the season 1 party, which was barely. And I just thought like his like reflections on life and with Colin, it was just like an interesting layer of him and something we don't see that often.
I have a quick comment. Just that this whole episode felt like interesting for Logan. Logan had a lot of good stuff that we don't get to see, even his conversations with Carrie, which were a little like peek behind the curtain. It surprises me. I'm really interested in like Carrie's background. I know I was saying this on our hype up video about I want to know about Tom's business acumen, but who is Carrie and like why does Logan trust her so much? Is she really just that good of a lay or is she actually, could she be in line for something bigger? I don't know, but she really is running the show. It seems Carl couldn't get him to answer the phone, but as soon as Carrie called, he answered. You know, it's just very interesting to me. And the best pal stuff, it was really kind of hard to watch even.
Yeah.
You know, but I really enjoyed it. And the roasts, like all of that, I'm like, what's gotten into this guy? He's really feeling the birthday blues, maybe. I'm not sure.
Carrie is just an odd character to me. I remember when I was watching, I remember texting you, Kathleen, and being like, who is this chick? Like, she came out of nowhere like a freight train in season 3. And I remember she has like one scene with Greg in season 2, rather, where Greg's kind of like waiting for Logan and she's just there being the secretary and there's no other like ulterior motive. She doesn't do anything else besides say like, he'll meet you in whatever, however many hours. So it's interesting how they kind of really expanded upon her character and that, I guess, thread of Logan that they went into in season 2, I guess, as well, of like the shiny object in front of him. Typically a woman is what like really ends up distracting him and like his big, excuse me, weakness. So I love Roman versus Carrie. Roman, just his verbal jabs to her were really good.
Yeah, that's in my quotes too.
That's in my favorite quotes. Yeah.
My moment is going to be, I guess I'll go a little less serious and just Tom and Greg. Tom basically pushing Greg into more and more anxiety than Greg already has as like a neutral baseline. Just when he's commenting on all of like the societal faux pas that Bridget Fuckface has made and like commenting on her ludicrously large bag and saying that like he'll never be invited to the opera and then talking about the CCTV cameras. Like, I'm not fully convinced that there even are cameras. I took that as Tom goading Greg into telling Logan that this happened, even though there was really no reason to tell that. I just, Tom and Greg's back and forth for me was really nice. And I also obviously agree with the two of your examples as well.
On the second rewatch, I said to Alex, I was like, there's not cameras, right? He's just fucking with them. I wouldn't be surprised if there was, but there's no way Logan's just watching them every night looking to see who stole a butter knife, like you said. Like, he's obviously just fucking with them, and then getting him to actually bring it up, especially in that moment when he's like, what else? I'm like, no, Greg, don't, for the love of God.
That's where Greg's like narcissism just jumps out. Like, you are in this family, buddy, because you think this is remotely fucking important right now or ever, or that you ever like, I'm a cousin. Like, he's like, I have a voice in this room. I'm like, you're so delusional. But yeah, I think Tom is at his best when he's with Greg, as always. You know, he's like less of like a Logan's little new lap dog or like really sad puppy around Shiv. It's like, that's the best watch is when he's with Greg.
I thought this was an acting masterclass from Tom, aka Matthew. I thought he was really, really good in this episode. We'll talk, I'm sure, obviously, about everyone when we get into like Market Watch stuff, but just wanted to throw that in there. My favorite quote is based off of this. So if we want to jump almost you right can into
jump
that.
Let's just jump knowing that we're going to talk about Shiv and Tom, deep dive that later, because I really need to talk about that.
Oh yeah, for sure. That will come up in a hit the quote in the end of the end of the episode discussion. So my quote is just delivered beautifully by Brian Cox of "Who Wants to Smell Greg's Finger, Guess the Scent, Win a Buck." Just the words themselves is just insane. The show always surprises me in what they get people to say, but B is the situation. Like, they're in the war room discussing this like $8 to $10 billion acquisition that this is Logan's white whale for his pretty much his whole career and recently, and this is the topic of conversation. I just thought it was so fucking funny. There was a couple lines earlier that cracked me up, and I was like, okay, these are definitely mine. And then that line came out, and I was like, that might be my favorite line of the entire show so far. It was so goddamn good.
There are instances when we podcast that if I'm taking notes or we're doing favorite quotes or something, I know I don't have to write it down because I know someone like Kyle has it. And this versus the cock one, which you have written down.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you say that one. Like, things where I'm like, I don't really need to write this down. Someone else is going to, especially like Kyle. But that was a great one. I'm going to do my next one, which is Shiv talking about why she's kind of doing some seemingly shady stuff. But she's like, you know, everything else might fall apart. He might go on a killing spree at 7-Eleven and you might get your dick stuck in an AI jerk machine. I have to look out for myself because no one else will. And it's like perfectly written. I love it. But also, I agree with Shiv. Like, no one's going to look out for her but herself. It's true. Like, so I think it was a good jab in its writing, but also in like story, you know, because I agree with her. And she also says something like, we have a seminal election and it's 1933 and I'd like to have a say. Like, that whole bit she goes on, it's good stuff. Good Shiv episode. It made me feel sad for her, but good Shiv.
I didn't write the full quote, but we already talked about this a little bit, but the Carrie Roman back and forth. And I like wrote the end quote because I love that, you know, he's good at bringing it back around. I mean, he's feel what you want about Roman. He's good at like staying with his bit. And when he's like, you can pop it back in your mouth now, and just hangs up. I was like, God, he kept it going. He ended the call with it. And yeah. She was like, dick. Honestly, I would have been reacting a lot worse. So props to her again. This
I can't imagine, trying to get anything serious done with Roman, especially if he has even like an inkling of dislike towards you or like a small level of disrespect. Like, it's just not going to get done.
Frank can't even be in the same room with him without just getting absolutely shit on. And also Roman in this episode, when he's like, what does come after 9B? Like, it was killing me.
Part of me was like thinking that he was going to ruin the whole deal. That was crazy. Well, I mean, he was being such a cocksmack throughout that whole conversation. And I was like, I feel like they know Bun Pierce is sensitive too, but she likes money.
Well, you had stock in Rome, right? Because we can dig into that because I have thoughts.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's the fucking smell Greg's finger was still, I was thinking about it all day today, just laughing, period, just chuckling to myself periodically at work. Like, I cannot wait to say this line on the podcast.
There were some choice Connor quotes too when he was in there, but just the way he just kept calling it my percent, like, because it's all it is, it's one. And I'm like, oh, you're the wrong kind of 1% right now. That must hit different, you know?
I know. And also Willa actually wanting a nice wedding made me feel something, because usually it would feel like she'd be like, okay, whatever. But even though this may not be the person she would love to marry, it is her wedding and she wants to take it seriously. And he's like, bum fights.
Yeah.
Bum fights, Con.
You sound unhinged.
That leads,
sounds like Logan,
almost perfectly, I guess, into our market watch. For me, I kind of broke it down into stock up, stock down. I did want to list all of the characters, especially because, you know, there's three of us. I'm sure we'll have our own takes and we'll all have our own things. But just as a joking one that I wrote for stock up was Hoopla and Razzmatazz, because I mean, Connor's trying to bring it to the Statue of Liberty. So it's looking up for Hoopla and Razzmatazz. We're looking like we're going to get some of that later on. And then
Barnum and Bailey.
And then the second one is Roman. I am noted in our season 4 hype episode that I'm a little bit of a Roman, not necessarily hater. I'm just not as high on him as other people. And I thought he was fantastic this episode. I was genuinely shocked that he seemed to be like the reasonable one in the room with the siblings. He seemed to be the only one that wanted to like take a step back on the deal and be like, okay, let's actually think about this. Like, we should think about it more than just the idea that it's, you know, being petty towards dad and doing that. And I liked him throughout this episode, except when he was being a dick to Bun. And I was just like, okay, at this point now you're going to ruin the deal just because you're being an asshole.
See, I didn't get that he was being such an asshole. Like, he was, obviously. And Nan was being wild. Nan was just like, this is disgusting, but okay, I'll listen. You know, it was actually a very funny bit of Nan, because I didn't find her funny previously. She was kind of just like a thorn in Logan's ass previously, but this episode they really made her kind of whimsical. This like whimsical old lady was just goofing off in the midst of this $10 billion deal. But Rome, I think, genuinely just doesn't want to get back in the ring with his dad. Like, he's lost so many times, and I think that this was just giving him anxiety. It was giving him the ick, so he was acting out. But I did agree with you 100% when he's like, I'm the only one who's not trying to fuck someone here, so what's the deal? And I thought that was great. He seems like pretty mature for him in this episode, and he looks great. All the boys, they look really nice. Good haircuts this season.
Yes, his hair looks so much better than it did in, I guess, season 3, season 2. It was getting a little, I mean, maybe, I don't know if they were doing it on purpose because of like the far right kind of things that were going on in season 2 and really season 3, especially with the presidential discussions. And he was looking a little crazy with that haircut, but it looks much better now.
I don't think we're done with that yet. And looking at my Roman stock, I don't think much happened. I think it's stable. I think all the new gen Roys are at the bottom of the stock market, but like, he's probably at the top of them, even above Connor, I would say. And just from the trailer, right, he has other, I think, irons in the fire, or will, with Logan. And my friend Taylor pointed out that he was wearing blue out of the kids while at Logan's party that they obviously weren't at. Everyone there was wearing blue, like the whole party. Like, it was like kind of weird. So she thought that maybe it was some symbolism. And I was like, that's probably something very intentional, knowing the showrunners and just HBO type level of show and symbolism. But yeah, I think there's more to come. I'm hoping the stocks will go up next week or so.
You have the most Roman stock, right? That was your pick?
Yeah, my main pick.
And speaking of Connor, I mean, whoever bought stock in Connor, did I buy stock in Connor? Did you?
I did.
Okay. I need to say, that man is spending your money.
Oh, it's bad. He's in my stock down list for sure. I was just like shaking my head like, Con, my man, come on. It just, I mean, well, listen, I feel like we're going to have to go low for him to kind of maybe get some perspective, and maybe becoming this laughing stock that he's so afraid of will hopefully open his eyes a little bit.
Greg's line.
I need the election to pass, is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, will it through the season? I feel like, I mean, Logan, no, but I'm saying, will the election end before the season ends, or will it take the whole season to end?
I feel like
but either
said
way,
it was soon.
Yeah. I thought he said,
yeah, but who knows how long this season is going to last. You know,
it's like a week.
Well, okay. Season. But for my investment, I need it to pass because I need Con to get a little humbling and some perspective in his life.
But Greg's line read of 100,000 and then whatever her name is being like, what'll that get you? That gets you the win?
And
oh, yeah, 100 million. Sorry, 100 million. And then Will is like, oh, God, no. Oh, God.
Yeah.
No. Just to maintain.
Was great. Yeah. Con, as a Con head myself, we're not feeling super optimistic, but I think this was always more of a long range play than just like a 1 or 2 episode thing. So I'm holding out hope for the soul that I know is in this ridiculous, obnoxious, stupid shell that he has. And I'm holding out hope on that blossoming at some point.
I mean, this will truly humble him, right? He spent how much of his own fortune that he's not, to my knowledge, adding to in any sense other than maybe stocks. But like, my God.
Also, I mean, that was a big part, I guess, of season 3 of he was running out of money and needed money from Logue. So maybe did Logue float him money? Like, how does he now have 100 million to blow? Who knows?
Let's talk about that new nickname, Logue. I never heard it before. 3 times in the episode. Crazy.
Logan Tommy. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I even wrote it down to do it just low question mark. I don't know how I feel. I was very close to putting Logan on a stock down list just based off like a one episode thing. Like we mentioned, I guess in the beginning a little bit, he's obviously feeling the impact of his kids not being there. He literally goes on like an existential crisis walk and starts having a discussion about the afterlife, which doesn't seem very like him. And now, yeah, people calling him Logue. There, it just feels like I've read something online. This is not an original thought of mine. Of like maybe it's a symbolism of like people's kind of not lack of respect, but like realizing that he's not like this insanely large figure on a pedestal that Jerry and Carl. Because even like they have the classic Frank, Jerry, and Carl argument over who's going to tell him bad news, and I love when they do that. And I was happy we got one, but there Carl just kind of does it. It didn't seem like there was that level of fear that there was, I guess, in season two. So
it was
I mean,
almost
maybe
goofy.
They're trying to, yeah, right. No, he was kind of like eating candy while he was doing it, I thought, which was interesting. So yeah, it's I guess it's kind of showing maybe cracks in his armor a little bit. I don't know.
Everyone's also running out of fucks, I think. This like Gojo thing's coming, right? Maybe. And it's just like maybe they feel all in a better place and it's they sort of see the light at the end of the tunnel with him, possibly, you know.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. I can go with one. So Kendall, just in general, that's who I bought stock in our hype up video. And I think it stayed, I bought low, right? Kendall was pretty low stock. Yeah. So I think maybe it ticked up a bit. He's in good spirits. He had some good lines. It makes me believe that him and Shiv and them like know what they're doing, even though they just can't. There's no way that they do. But I think that my Kendall stock is staying either even or a bumped up a tick. Nothing worrisome, at least.
I mean, he's showing stability for what it's worth. So I feel like that's for what you predict for him or wish for him is just as good as it could get.
Right.
He was like, I've smoked horse. I need something to like put my time into. And then that made me think of why he wanted an asset. If he was trying to get bought out, he knows himself. He needs fucking something to go be addicted to, frankly.
To go nut nut.
To go nut nut.
And I guess maybe that's Pierce now. Yeah. He just kind of had a very even keeled episode, which for Kendall is.
It's a win.
Yeah. For sure. Do we want to move on to, I mean, we've talked to Roman, we've talked to Kendall. How we
Let's
feeling?
Talk about.
I didn't. Go ahead.
I was going to. Oh. Shiv.
Yeah.
I was going to say, why don't we talk about our group stock in Tom, since we all bought stock in Tom? Because then Shiv kind of gets into weird territory and it'll touch on Tom too. But we can talk about Tom in general first. Do we think the team Logan is going to find out that Tom's leak?
I don't know. I mean, Tom's leak in for what though? Was it the Pierce stuff? Because also I feel like it easily could just be pinned on Bridget Fuckface because she posted, because they really had the thing where they saw that Bun was at the party on social media, which was, I guess they kind of spoon fed us that was Bridget Fuckface. So I think Tom might be in the clear there a little bit.
So then he holds steady.
So I have a different thought, and again, not totally original thought. Someone else mentioned how, like, in the end, Logan didn't seem as disappointed as you'd expect because in not getting Pierce, but more so that his kids went and made a dumb fucking deal just to spite him again. He's like, ugh. So part of me thinks, and then they were writing about how Tom isn't good because he's the line to the kids still, right, through Shiv. So, you know, Logan, you know, he's probably doesn't fully trust anyone, so he probably knew Tom would do something dumb. So I think there is a chance that like he kind of, you know, made the move and there was a ripple effect, but
I can see,
so I don't know entirely if it would come back to bite him or if it was all Logan's plan, but I just think Tom's stocks are a little unstable based on the if we're good we're good.
That was amazing. And I love how he ends it with like, where's, like, what did you say, Carrie, like, where's the food, like Tom's off his nut. Tom's just sitting there on the couch like, oh my God, what the fuck have I done? I love
sold
it.
Sold his soul to the devil, like he said to Greg, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't willing to downgrade Tom. I think unstable is a good way to describe it. I don't know if after one, he's gone down. Because I feel like it's kind of evened out. Like professionally, I feel like he's still okay. I mean, if we're good, we're good seems to be Logan's idea of everyone. It's just funny when he says it out loud after Tom like dumps his soul onto him. But obviously, personally, things are potentially rockier than they were. I'm not really sure if it's just kind of we got confirmation of what we were expecting or if this is actually like a huge blow.
Well, before we dive into that, I will also say, I think part of his only appeal to Logan still is that he has the line to Shiv if they're going to still be kind of, you know, separate. And I just think that puts him in, like I said, the unstable place, right? Like the way Logan's like, call your wife, get your wife, as if Tom has any control there, or if that's just a constant test he's going to be facing, he's no longer going to have that, which leads to...
yeah, which leads to Shiv. But it's funny because when we talk about these stock conversations, it's like stock as in how are they going to be coming out of the series, right? Like, where is that in business? Is that in love? In my heart, Tom shot up 1,000 paces. Yeah. He was so gentle this episode, even like besides the Greg stuff, which is so funny. Tom had this like gentle warmth to him this episode, especially at the end, that I haven't really seen. I mean, we've seen him be kind of like dumb and sappy and you kind of feel bad for him. But in this, is like calm, cool, collected, and just like devastated little heart talking to Shiv in this last scene. First of all, incredible acting. But in general, this scene, again, like I said in the executive summary, first time I cried at Succession. She even cried again on the rewatch. I didn't feel myself rooting for them in the previous seasons because Shiv's such a monster, yeah, most times. Not. But watching that scene, it was so like tender-ish. And I don't know, it just really got to me. So just in general, Tom Sock with like business and stuff, it may be like a little wobbly, but in my heart, stocks are up. But yeah, so let's talk about Shiv before the heartbreaking stuff, because she's obviously going through it. The minute she hears about the Naomi thing from Tom, I mean, she's like chugging Pellegrino, and the boys, again, another good sibling moment. The boys are like, fuck off. We need to talk to our sister. Get out. Yeah. T or whatever the hell his tell us is. He's new, right?
Yeah, he looks new to me.
And he's a goofball, but I enjoyed the stuff. I enjoyed the sibling stuff. Shiv seemed, I think stocks are
everyone's saying Shiv stocks down. Shiv's down bad. If anything, yeah, you read how I felt is rough.
I was expecting a certain level of spin zone out of the two of you.
No,
I'll call it like it is, but we'll still.
I love her so much.
Okay, yeah. I said you guys
tell it like
tweet.
It is and still love her. You know?
Yeah, where it was no, like
she was just funny.
Yeah, where it's like Shiv has the audacity to be mad at Tom for like potentially maybe hooking up with models while she kind of cucked him for three straight seasons. And then the one reply, I was like, I love her. She's our queen. It's just like, that's
she's so real
goes.
For that.
Yeah. Like you said though, Kathleen, it was fantastic acting. You could really tell like Shiv's emotional issues were so on display, just like in Sarah Snook's look on her face. And I mean, obviously, she says essentially that like she doesn't want to open any of the wounds because basically she's afraid of that level of vulnerability. She won't have control, especially over Tom, which is what she actually kind of likes about Tom, it seems, for the most part. And it was just so good, especially as maybe someone not obviously at the level that Shiv exhibits this like inability to be vulnerable and like this crazy avoidant emotional person. But like, you know, maybe just having a little bit of a struggle with opening up to people at that level, it was like, holy shit, this, like, they need to talk, but they physically can't have that conversation. And that's like frustrating and sad to watch.
I think that's the devastating part, right? You just watch these adults who just know, you know, everything, but to say it hurts too much. And so you just end it. So you just walk away from each other's lives. Like, it's, yeah, devastating. Because again, it's not like I root for Shiv and Tom. She's horrible to him, and it's her biggest cringiest moments, right, of the whole series. But yeah, they just crushed it acting wise, and it makes you feel like for them and just feel about that situation.
Yeah, it's just like a point of pride. He got one over on her, and she doesn't want to relive it, think about it. She doesn't want to deep dive it. This guy that she's cucked for three seasons got one over on her, and that's not something she can face, which sucks, but they're going to eventually, I think. Like, I'm going to, like, put it on the board. They're endgame.
I was just going to ask that question, so I'm glad you brought that up.
If you haven't listened to our previous episode, we are Shiv stans. We are Shiv apologists. We love Shiv because it doesn't really seem like it based on this conversation, but I love her and I'm rooting for her. And I just think in the middle, like when she, they do a great, like a directed scene where when she's going in to say the 10 million, she opens the doors and it's just a close up on her face. And then the boys are behind her and it's great. So there are wins for Shiv in this. I don't know that 10 billion is the right number. I don't know if they have $10 billion, but there are some good things in this. And I just think that at the end, Tom shines in the gentle way because Shiv was saying all of those things that made her just sound so petty, especially because they had an open relationship even when they were together and not separated. And so all the model stuff, all the, are you doing all the positions, Tom? It was making me feel a type of way. But when they were really, when Tom was sitting on the bed, there was no music playing and it was just having a one-on-one conversation until the really sad music starts playing. And it's, and it, it really sat with me. It's like one of the scenes I'll remember when I think back on this show for sure. So yeah, maybe Shiv's stock is not great, but I think I still loved watching her in this episode. And, but Tom, yeah, Tom did it for me more, I would say, in that scene.
Yeah. It's going to be messy. It's not going to be as clean as, you know, them holding hands and that's the end of it. And they go their separate ways, like cleanly. I mean, this episode in general was a huge mess of, I mean, we get like the show starts and they're chilling and they're doing their own business thing. And then now we're obviously roped into immediately a bidding war with their dad over this asset. And Naomi's involved, which is Kendall's ex. And she's involved with Tom, who's obviously on the rocks with Shiv. And that's all getting involved. And then Greg is being a ridiculous person and Nan's back into it. So it's just like a mess from the beginning. So I'm sure their relationship is going to go rocky, but I agree with you. I do think that they're endgame.
Yeah. Come on. We need love.
And so I guess the last little investment we haven't talked about is just Greg. For me, it was a stock down episode for Greg. He's exhibiting the exact behaviors of why I didn't put him on my top three list going into the season, which was the wearing stuff he was doing at Caroline's wedding, just kind of being a dickhead. And he's really leaning into it. And like thinks Tom is as well, it seems, but Tom's just kind of going along with it maybe and is not actually like excited about the disgusting bros kind of title and things, while Greg's like, yeah, like let's go fuck all these chicks and fuck them over. And Tom's like not actually doing that. So Greg is definitely stock down for me.
If Tom is doing that, he'll never tell Greg. He always needs to have a little, be a peg above Greg, you know? But
yeah, I also just want to reiterate something, Kyle, you said last episode. You said Greg himself is just a catalyst to make everyone else funnier. And I think that's even more present this episode when Tom's dragging him for the bag. Greg is down, but he's just so stupid. Like he makes me laugh so much. He's such an idiot. Yeah. In the post interview or maybe at TikTok, he's 6'7".
Yeah.
The actor. We saw on a TikTok and Al literally was like, did he just say he's 6'7"? I'm like, it must just be dunking on everyone on that set. Because that's goofy.
Tall.
Yeah, because they don't look.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I never noticed, like, you know, Kendall's and Roman are kind of on the shorter side, but I've never noticed a glaring, like, what kind of beanpole? But so they must all be a little tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Greg and Carrie had a great moment. Again, just highlighting how dumb Greg is. Of Carrie, like, lining out all these issues of him bringing this random person to Logan's birthday party. I mean, it shows the growth in Greg, because the first episode, he's all awkward at the party by himself and doesn't know where to stand or sit or touch. And now he's bringing a date and, you know, drinking and making fun of Connor and things like that. So, obviously, the growth is there, but in the kind of a bad way.
Yeah, I think it's like classic to all of them. It's here or here. There's no middle ground. There's no like balance. It's just one thing or the other, you know?
All right. I think that kind of wraps up everyone. I didn't really have a take on anyone else. We didn't really discuss anyone else in our hype episode of who we were investing in or anything like that, or are really riding for this season. So if there's no other lasting comments from the two of you, I think that's going to wrap up our episode one.
I was just going to say the two people that I think that are going to be huge in this season who weren't in it is Jared Mankin, and he's going to cause problems. So
He was named
none of him. he was name dropped. And then, of course, what's Alexander Skarsgård's name in the show?
Mattson.
Yeah, Mattson. Again, he's going to be big, I think, as well. So none of them will do some stocks once they're some stonks once they're in the episode. But that's all I have to say. Great episode. So good to be back. I also sent Alex and you, Kyle, on Twitter the four intros next to each other. I can't really make anything out of it, like here or there.
Change, but I don't know what it means.
Yeah, so I was hoping maybe the creator would eventually like tell us why they changed some things, because when we were watching, I was like, this seems different, but I couldn't pinpoint why. But either way, so good to be back on Sunday nights. Love it.
I have one more thing, and we don't have to answer it now, but I just, what sign do we think Logan is? It was early fall, and I just need to know what the hell Logan's sign is.
I was thinking Scorpio because it seemed wintry. He was in a full peacoat.
There was only some leaves on the ground. Like,
so yeah, because they're Libra done. Or
I feel like it's like late October.
Okay, so what's that?
I think Scorpio.
Yeah, early October or November. Paul. That's Paul. Him and Logan and Paul are so similar.
So like, so mean.
We're always saying that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. My one comment will be that I just remembered. I am so upset that I didn't mention Kendall's OJ line, "The juice is loose," from season one in our hype episode of like one of my favorite moments and favorite quotes. I died laughing at that in the season three premiere because he's like, "Who said I didn't kill anybody?" And he's like, "The juice is loose." It's like, oh my god, okay. Yeah, he's a little neurotic right now. He's feeling himself a little too much.
That's a good one.
So that wraps up our episode one discussion. I really like the format. I think I'm really just excited to be able to actually talk individual episodes. Doing like the halfway season thing would have been fun, but I think it's more fun that we actually get to mention all the quotes and maybe little nuances along the way. So we're like 48 hours out from a Gojo sale. We're potentially a week or a little bit more away from an election. Oh. So we will see.
It's going to shock me. A week away?
Yeah, I was like,
what do you mean
like
the season's going to not last a week? I was like, okay.
Potentially a Connor and Willa wedding, a shotgun wedding occurring. So
maybe
we
it'll
some
end with a
to
wedding.
Look forward to.
Like season one ended. Maybe they're doing a lot of that. Like
one and three. Whoa. So it'd be 1, 3, 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like, wow. I like. Well, that doesn't make me feel good about my Connor stocks because I need him to like to have some humbling. Okay, whatever. We'll get
Wait, oh, you're right. If the election's in a week, he's trying to jam out this wedding. We didn't get a trailer for next week, so we don't know what joy is to come.
Yeah, I try to avoid anything for next week because I don't want to taint any predictions that I have.
Oh, that's a good point. We should when they
it's
release
hard,
them,
though.
We should avoid. Okay.
It's hard, though. All right. So that will do it for episode one. If you enjoyed, if you like what you heard, please, like I said in the beginning, please subscribe. That's the easiest way to kind of support us. Follow us on social medias at Bingetown TV. Our website, bingetowntv.com, has all of the goodie, all the good information, all kind of aggregated into one spot for you. It's going to be all of the episodes of all of the shows that we've covered. And just to reiterate, we're currently covering Yellowjacket. So if you're watching that, be sure to check out our coverage. The Mandalorian. So also if you're watching that, be sure to check out our coverage. And Shadow and Bone. Those are kind of the three, I guess four and counting succession of what we're working on right now. Obviously more to come. We kind of do this year round. It's been what, 3 years now, Kathleen? More?
Yep, 3 years.
Which is crazy to think about. We're coming up on 350 episodes. So if there's a show you like, I'm sure we've probably covered it. So be sure to check out all of the things that we've done in the past and stay with us for what we're about to do in the future. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thank you for listening.
Fuck off.
Fuck off.
Meeting adjourned.
All right.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.